SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on a Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. In this second hour, the Early Line truly lives up to its name. It is a second hour dedicated to a preview and a breakdown of each, and I mean individually each and every segment of our six matchups during Super Wild Card Weekend to kick off the opening round of the NFL postseason. We will go game by game, our early insights to what we are seeing based on what the numbers are telling us and our expectations to start the National Football League postseason. What a second hour it is going to be. The early lines of the NFL playoffs here on the Early Line.
Looking so very forward to this here, Ben, because I do think across the board in football that maybe, just maybe, the dogs could be barking this week. Enough with the chalk, Ben. We got to get some dogs barking and make a few bucks here this weekend.
Favorites had been killing it from about week 13 on until week number 18, but it really was the weekend of the dog, especially in those spots, Joe, where it was necessary for a team to win to secure a playoff berth or better their postseason seed. Those dogs were a barking, or the team that had already been eliminated from playoff contention. But that's a thing of the past. Now it is the postseason future and the outlook to start this opening round. Super Wild Card Weekend. Six games this weekend, starting with a doubleheader on Saturday. Three games on Sunday, a Monday nightcap in the City of Angels between the Rams and the Vikings. Death, taxes, and if the Texans make it to the AFC postseason and have to play during Wild Card Weekend, they'll be that first game on Saturday afternoon, as is the case once again to start the postseason here in 2024's NFL season, of course, in 2025. But Houston, even with home field advantage, Joe, is not the favorite. That would be the L.A. Chargers laying 2.5 points on the road in H-Town. Total stands at 42.5. Let's start with that spread. Let's start with the favored side. Do you believe the Chargers are a deserving favorite to kick off the postseason?
Yes, they are. Absolutely. Because Houston is not trustworthy. They're a hot mess, to be completely honest with you. And listen, give them credit. They won certainly enough games early in the season, Ben, to carry them in a very weak division and just hold their head above water enough to be able to get to this point. But, you know, beating the Indies of the world is, or Tennessees of the world, yay, congratulations. But the reality is this is going to be big boy football, and nothing that Houston has done it has led me to believe that they are going to be somebody worth backing at this spot, even at home, simply because, Ben, they've been the worst ATS team in the second half of games this year. There is a coaching issue and a disconnect with that organization. That is not a team that I want to be have to rely on making adjustments in the second half of a playoff game, Ben, in order to win and cash a ticket. That's, they've shown they can't do it, and other teams outcoach them. Yeah, they deserve to be a big favorite in this one at home, even at home against this Chargers team.
Yeah, listen, I would agree with that statement, right? I would agree with what you are saying here on this Bolts team, winners of 11 games this year. It is what Jim Harbaugh does better than most. He goes to an organization, whether it's the FCS level at San Diego, the FBS level for a dormant program at Stanford, or of course at Michigan, and he wins right away. It's what he did in San Francisco as well for the 49ers. Now here 11-6 for an LA team that sure made the postseason back in 2022, but coughed up a 27-zip lead against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team in LA that had a win total of 8.5. Sure, unable to unseat the Chiefs atop the AFC West, but still a playoff bid and now expected to maybe see the Chiefs in that divisional round in just a couple of weeks. But Joe, I would agree. The Chargers are the deserving favorite. And let's look at these two teams where they stand in correspondence to what is expected of them. LA as the favorite, Houston as the underdog. With CJ Stroud, since the start of last year, the Texans have been a great underdog. 10-7 against the spread. 7 outright victories as well in these past two seasons. But most of that was last year, which is kind of the story of this season for the Texans. A lot of offseason optimism after winning the AFC South in a playoff game with a rookie head coach in DeMeco Ryans and a rookie quarterback in CJ Stroud. So the expectation this year was not just divisional odds on favorite. They made good on that, I guess you could say, with a 10-7 record in the poorest AFC South, but to be a true contender in the AFC. I would say entering the postseason, Joe, nobody expects Houston to even remotely contend for the conference championship right at this moment. And as an underdog, the Texans 2-3 against the spread this year. Both covers, sure, a cover, but not an outright victory. Meanwhile, the Chargers, when they were expected to win a game and beat up on inferior opponents, it's exactly what LA did. They are 10-2 against the spread as the favored side this year, covering by an average margin of 6 points per game. Listen, the public is in love with the Chargers right now. 89% of the money in terms of the spread for this matchup on FanDuel, all on the Bolts. But I do believe, again, it is the deserving side to see LA, even as a road favorite, to start our first of six matchups during Super Wild Card Weekend.
I got the better quarterback, the better coach, the better disciplined team here in the Chargers. Yes, it's on the road, but it doesn't matter. The experience factor on that coaching staff under Harbaugh, listen, he understands how to win postseason games, right? Houston and DeMeco Ryans have not. And it didn't work out all that well in that playoff game last year. And it hasn't worked out well this year when they were the hunted instead of taking people by surprise. And nobody thought they would do anything. Well, everybody came hunting for you, and it's a different year. Unfortunately, it's one that I think they're just in over their head with this one. And could this be finally the Justin Herbert year that he finally breaks through because he's got the right coach in his corner?
He's playing that way right now. To start off the year, Greg Roman, the OC in LA, and Jim Harbaugh told you exactly what they were going to do. Take the onus off of Herbert in the first 4 years of his career, had to do everything for the Chargers. They were going to run the football, be stout up front, and play good defense. They went under in 7 of their first 8. To end the year, though, the Bolts have gone over in 7 of their final 9. And Justin Herbert, a big reason why. At least 281 passing yards in the last 3 games for LA. Multiple passing touchdowns, including 3 in that span in the last 4 games. Each of those last 4 games. You see the numbers there. It's the same exact yardage prop for Herbert and CJ Stroud. Herbert had only thrown for multiple passing touchdowns 4 times in the first 13 games for LA. Now 4 consecutive games to end out the year with multiple passing scores. Meanwhile, Joe, CJ Stroud, as compared to his NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year season last year, fewer yards, worse completion percentage, fewer touchdowns, more picks, worse quarterback rating, worse QBR, and a lot more sacks. It has not been a good year in his sophomore campaign for Stroud.
Yeah, no, it's not. And also a lot less weapons, more injuries, and a much worse offensive line, Ben. Much worse.
Much worse. Much worse. And that's really been the issue. Sacked 38 times during his rookie season a year ago. Sacked 52 times in 2024. And the Chargers can get after the quarterback. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to preview each and every game, all six matchups that we have to kick off the NFL postseason and Super Wild Card Weekend. Doubleheader on Saturday, first up 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time in Houston. The Texans host the Chargers, as we have shared, L.A., a 2.5-point road favorite. Not the story for the nightcap on Saturday. In fact, it is the largest spread. It is Wild Card Weekend and a divisional duel between the Ravens and the Steelers. Again, Baltimore is the biggest favorite of the entirety of the weekend, all six matchups included. 9.5-point spread in favor of the flock, the total 44 and a hook. Joe, these two teams know each other incredibly well. So when you see that 9.5-point spread, for how often these games are often competitive, is it too large? Or does it feel fitting for a reason for where these two teams stand entering the NFL playoffs?
It's always fitting for a reason, Ben. They're almost a double-digit dog for a reason. This, to me, is pretty simple. We've got two teams heading in completely opposite directions. And before you start quoting me any great Mike Tomlin numbers as a dog and all of this stuff, and just look at what Tomlin's record over the last couple of years is in the playoffs, guys. It's terrible. And why is it terrible? Because this team tends to run out of gas when it matters the most, unfortunately. They are taking in a 4-game losing streak and an offense that is completely lost. And we're not talking lost as in, oh, they'll be fine, Ben. They'll just flip a switch and everything will be good. No. This team is lost. Russ looks cooked, which was always the biggest concern the minute that they went to him and traded for him and started him, that this wasn't a version of Russ that was going to show up at some point. Unfortunately for the Steelers, it showed up at the worst time, at the end of the year. Now they're rolling into a game with a team that is rolling the other way, has the better defense, better quarterback, better offense at home. This has got route written all over it here, Ben. Sorry, Steelers. What you have done in the past doesn't matter anymore. What have you done for me lately? And the answer, Ben, is absolutely nothing.
Of course, these two teams split their season series when things were going well for the Steelers at home in Pittsburgh, even as a home underdog, catching about 3 points in the Steel City. Russ in Pittsburgh won outright against Baltimore as that underdog, 18-16. But that was at home as a dog. The last time these two teams played, just a couple of weekends ago. Of course, as we know it, in Pittsburgh in in Baltimore in week 16, the Ravens were a touchdown favorite. They covered that number, winning by 3 scores, 34-17, over a total around 44 and a hook, which is where the total is this time. Joe, we'll get to the points we expect in just a moment. But since since 2011, between these two bitter rivals in the AFC North, there have only been two spreads. This will be the third. There have only been two spreads north of a touchdown. We were at a full touchdown for the most recent matchup a couple of weekends ago in week 16, but only two times since 2011 north of two touchdowns. Most recently in 2020, the Ravens were the double-digit dog on the road in Pittsburgh, ended up covering that number. And in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, back in 2015, the Ravens actually won outright as a double-digit dog against the Steelers. Very different things this time around. But familiarity, of course, is a part of consideration and where these two teams enter this matchup. Baltimore playing great football down the stretch. Lamar Jackson looking like an NFL MVP contender. Once again, you see the numbers there. The Ravens defense getting better. The offense is elite. For the Steelers, very different story, Joe. They have dropped 4 straight games to end out the regular season after winning 6 of the first 7 starts that Russell Wilson made, including that upset outright victory against the Ravens back in the Steel City. In those games, Pittsburgh, in the first 7 starts that Russ had made, had scored at least 26 points in 5 of 7 in their 4 games to end out the year, just 1-7 against the spread as well, all as an underdog, scoring 17 points or fewer, Joe, in those four straight L's to end out the regular season.
Yeah, just the thing to me as well, Ben, is I do think that the Ravens defense is maybe the most underrated crew heading into these playoffs. Why? Because of the rough start that they had through the first month and a half of the season. But while nobody was paying attention and everyone's talking about Lamar and, and Derrick Henry and this offense, and that's all fine and dandy. But the reality is, this defense over the last couple of months, Ben, has been absolutely lights out. And for a struggling quarterback and offense like Russ Wilson is going to be bringing to the table here on the road in that environment, that defense is going to be hungry. And on the flip side, that Pittsburgh defense has fallen off a cliff, Ben, over the last month. Again, two teams heading in totally different directions to think they can flip a switch and become playoff Mike Tomlin and Pittsburgh Steelers. I think you're out of your mind.
Listen, Joe, I would have to agree. By the way, Zach Orr, the new defensive coordinator for Baltimore, former Ravens linebacker and linebackers coach under Mike McDonald the last few seasons, they have figured whatever it was they needed to fix. He's really young. I think he's 31 or 32. They have done a great job with the Ravens. And last time these two teams met back in week 16, being decided by three scores, seeing this spread at 9.5 points for a playoff game between the Ravens and the Steelers is alarming, because prior to week 16, the previous nine meetings between Pittsburgh and Baltimore, all decided by a single score, five of the nine, a field goal or fewer. But again, you see the Ravens as a touchdown favorite in week 16. It wasn't even close to enough. 9.5, the largest spread of all of Super Wild Card Weekend, as Joe said at the very start of this breakdown, does feel rather fitting. We'll continue to go around Super Wild Card Weekend and our final game of three in the AFC to Buffalo next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Again, the Early Line living up to its name. The Early Line's early on this week for Super Wild Card Weekend in the National Football League. The structure of the weekend, the opening round of the postseason. Two games on Saturday, each in the AFC. Three games on Sunday, where the first is an AFC matchup between the 2-seed the Bills and the 7-seed the Broncos. Then we get to all of the games within the NFC. So the first three out of the AFC, the final three of the weekend hailing from the NFC. Joe, and in the AFC, we've got two very large numbers, the two largest numbers of the weekend, the only two numbers that are higher than 5 points. We talked about Baltimore, largest favorite of the weekend, hosting Pittsburgh, 9.5 point spread. The Bills hosting the Broncos, an 8.5 point number to kick off our triple header on Sunday in Orchard Park. Total stands at 47.5. For the Broncos to be here is a season of success with a rookie quarterback, year number two at Mile High under Sean Payton. But Joe, as the odds makers expect, that's probably the end of the road for Denver. This begins what Buffalo is hoping can be a historic postseason, a fifth consecutive AFC East divisional crown. But unlike the previous four, this time the Bills are hoping to get to a Super Bowl and not be ousted by their postseason nemesis, the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you make of the opening round matchup between the Bills and the Broncos on Sunday?
Well, I get ready for points, man, because I would imagine this game is going to fly over this total. Another one if you can get 8.5, you better lock it into a teaser now, because it won't be there as we get closer to kickoff, Ben, because the books will protect against those 8.5s down to under a field goal for Buffalo as best they can. So don't be shocked if this thing is 9, 9.5 by the time we get the kickoff. And again, another one of these situations where it's warranted. I mean, kudos to Sean Payton, coach of the year, rookie quarterback. Nobody saw them doing this. But the reality is, at this point in the season, Ben, experience matters. And there is no more experienced team than what Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills are going to bring to the table. The Broncos are celebrating their first playoff appearance in, what, 8 years? Yay! The reality is you're going to lose this game. You're probably going to lose it epically. Not because you're a terrible team or to take anything away from what they did, but there are levels to this here, Ben. And right now, Denver is they've got to go through some growing pains with Bo Nix and this young squad. I do think they're going to have some success scoring points, but ultimately it's Josh Allen and the Bills that pull away, cover this number, and get it up and over to 47.5.
Yeah, Joe, I think it's hard to fault that thought as well. You are right. Denver playing in its first NFL postseason since 2015 when Peyton Manning was under center and the Broncos won a Super Bowl. This was a Denver team that entered the season with a 5.5 win total. To be here is a resounding success. To find the future of your franchise in Bo Nix, a resounding success. But it probably comes to the end of the road in Western New York on Sunday. Just to note, it is January in Orchard Park. Not expecting snow, maybe a dusting on Saturday. But by Buffalo weather standards, pretty good Sunday. Wind, less than 10 miles per hour, 30 degrees, cloudy. Not all that shabby for Western New York to kick off our triple header on Sunday afternoon. And, Joe, it could be a resounding statement for Josh Allen. NFL MVP consideration is a regular season thing, but a time to prove that he is the true winner of this award. He will enter the postseason at the end of the regular season as a minus 470 favorite to win the NFL MVP hardware, the first of his career, hoping for even more postseason accolades to get Buffalo back to a Super Bowl. In 2020, they reached the AFC Championship game, bounced by the Chiefs. The last 3 years, the end of the road for the Bills in that divisional round. Quickly, Joe, on Buffalo, do you think their playoff outlook looks different this time around in 2024?
Absolutely. I've been saying it all year. This looks and feels like a different Buffalo team. The moment is not going. This is why experience matters, Ben. In the playoffs, you've got to lose before you can win sometimes. And I think Buffalo is ready to take that next step.
Right now, Buffalo has the second best price to win the AFC at plus 250, less than a dollar behind Kansas City. Now to the NFC side of things up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We go game by game in chronological order for Super Wild Card Weekend to kick off the NFL postseason. In the opening half hour of our second hour here on this Tuesday morning on the Early Line, we previewed the first three games of the weekend, all conveniently in the AFC. Now, starting with our second of three of our Sunday triple header, we transition to the other conference. In the NFC, it's the 2-seed Philadelphia and the 7-seed the Green Bay Packers. Joe, earlier on in the show, we showed you the injury news around the NFL. Jordan Love, a right elbow injury, a contusion from this past Sunday that does not seem to be all that serious, and he is expected to play this weekend. But not great news when your quarterback has injury questions starting off the postseason. But you could say the same thing for Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia. Exited the opening half of the Eagles' last loss of the year back in week 16 against the Washington Commanders in concussion protocol. Did not play week 17. It was Kenny Pickett. They clinched the division against the Cowboys. So nobody needed to play in week number 18. So it was Tanner McKee against the Giants and still a victory for the Birds. So we didn't really check in on Jalen Hurts. We just knew that he remained in concussion protocol, but probably a precaution, right, to get ready for the postseason. Well, as of yesterday afternoon, Hurts still in concussion protocol. Tomorrow begins the full practice week for Philadelphia. If we see a DNP or a limited participant on that practice report, what will that mean for Hurts' status to start off the postseason? And Joe, what would that mean for the spread? I posed the question kind of to you to end off one of those segments in the opening hour. Is this 4.5-point number the largest spread of our three matchups in the NFC, by the way? Is it taking into account that Jalen Hurts' status is uncertain, or that Hurts expects to be ready to go on Sunday afternoon? What say you?
Well, I don't think it'll get to a touchdown, Ben, if that's what people are thinking. I do think that defensively, and I think the way to approach this is via the total in this game. Because whether Jalen Hurts plays or doesn't play, Ben, to me, this is a dead under game. The Philadelphia defense is what's going to elevate this team and carry it through any sort of turmoil with or inability of Jalen Hurts to be able to play here. No Christian Watson means now all of a sudden that limits the Packers' explosiveness for big plays down the field here. I do love what Green Bay has done defensively, but also Jaire Alexander not going to be playing also for Green Bay. I just think that this is two teams that are going to run the ball, two teams that are going to limit what the other team wants to do defensively. So if I'm looking at this game, whether Jalen Hurts plays or not, I'm backing the under, and I would get it now, Ben, because if he's not playing, I think the biggest move is going to be on the total. It's not going to be on the side. I think Philadelphia is still your favorite one way or the other here. And if he does get announced that he's playing, again, I don't know that the total moves all that much, but I bet you this thing gets closer to maybe 5.5, 6 if he is announced.
It would be really interesting, Joe, to see what happens to the spread and total movement with the clarification, if you will, on Jalen Hurts' status. Again, Jordan Love expects to play. Christian Watson now out for the remainder of this season. His status, even for early 2025, is in question. But Hurts is in concussion protocol. Unless he clears protocol, he cannot go. Is that status going to change in the next 48 to 72 hours? If it does not, what happens to the line? I'd say it would dip under 3, but still probably see Philadelphia closing as a favorite against Green Bay. Maybe back to 3.5. I'm not sure. If he plays, could it get closer to 5.5, 6.5? The line opened up at 3.5 in favor of Philadelphia. 45.5 is an intriguing total. Joe, these two teams will maybe end their season, at least for one of them, against one another, where their season started, but in Sao Paulo. It was that Brazilian opener on a Friday night. Philadelphia victorious 34-29 in a high-scoring game, but nobody could get a grip on that slippery surface in Brazil. Meanwhile, for the Packers this year, as an underdog, they've been darn good, 3-2 against the spread, including a couple of outright victories, but those outright victories with Malik Willis. Only booked as a dog were the Packers twice with Jordan Love and a true underdog, 2 points or greater, a slight pick'em price against Minnesota a couple of weekends ago. But both of those games for Green Bay as the dog against Detroit, one cover, but two losses outright. If you even include closing as a slight underdog against the Vikings, they lost that game outright as well. So the Packers not expected a win against the best competition this year. Green Bay has really faltered, just 1-5 in the NFC North, conveniently a division where they went winless against those two other teams, the Vikings and the Lions, that have won at least 14 games, which is what Philly has done as well.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, Green Bay, you know, they had to endure a injury to Jordan Love to start the year, Ben, but then Matt LaFleur works his magic, brings in Malik Willis and somehow steals a couple of wins there, buys enough time to be able to get Jordan Love back, and voila, they were off and running. I mean, defensively, they've been great, but the Packers have been very good against lesser competition here. You mentioned it, their record against the teams in their own division, the better competition, Not great. This will be one of the best defenses that they're going to see. Not having Watson hurts, but I think they've established a running game this year for a reason. And I do think they're going to lean on that running game to try and do anything they can in order to wear down that defense of the Eagles. Good luck. I think this is going to be one of those old-fashioned January cold weather games where whoever wins the trenches is going to win this game, but it ain't going to be high scoring. I can promise you that.
Weather not expected to be great Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. That's something to consider as well. Outdoor playoff football, the Eagles, the two seed. Of course, Green Bay plays at the frozen tundra. That is not overly shocking news to this Packers organization. Both teams stout defensively. You see where things stand for both of these teams, both allowing fewer than 20 points per game on average. The Eagles, one of the best scoring defenses in all of the NFL. And Joe, I just would say as well, Philadelphia started this year 2-2, right? Some questions. Where was this Eagles team in the opening month? They won 12 of their last 13 to end out the regular season, covering in 8 of those 12 wins, under in 8 of their last 13 games as well. Defense being the main reason why. Joe, let me ask you about the NFC as a whole. The Lions will enter the postseason as the short favorites to win the conference championship. Does it feel like a tier of two, or is it more uncertain to you and up in the air in the NFC? Is it the Lions and the Eagles in the NFC championship, or might we see a couple of other teams be able to make some noise?
Yeah, I find the Rams fascinating here, given their path and their ability defensively. Another one of these teams that got better as the season went on defensively. Ton of experience, great coaching. You know, Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, the Rams have all the ingredients to be that dark horse, but so does Tampa. I mean, what else can we say about Tampa, Ben? They've been there. They've done that.
For sure.
Tampa could very well play spoiler to some of those teams on the left-hand column there, Ben.
To me, that's where the value lies in the NFC. Those prices on teams that have a postseason pedigree, the Buccaneers in a home game, the Rams in a home game. We'll talk about Tampa's home game up next against the rookie QB, Jaden Daniels, and the Washington Commanders. On the other side of the break here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue with our preview and breakdown of each of the 6 matchups to kick off the NFL postseason, the opening round, or better yet, now known as Super Wild Card Weekend. 3 days of NFL playoff action, a doubleheader on Saturday, a tripleheader on Sunday, and a Monday nightcap we will get to up next. Sunday Night Football in Tampa, Florida. It's the Buccaneers, the champions of the NFC South for a 4th consecutive season, hosting the Rook, Jaden Daniels, and first-year head coach outside the nation's capital, that being Dan Quinn. These two teams also played each other way back in week number 1, much like the Packers and the Eagles. It was a welcome to the NFL moment for Jaden Daniels, who struggled in that game, one of the few games he looked like a rookie this year. Tampa victorious in a big way, 37-20. The Buccaneers covering as the favorite side in that matchup. And once again, the Bucs a favorite, a flat 3. That field goal number in favor of Baker and his Buccaneers, the highest total of Super Wild Card Weekend at 50.5. Joe, what are the numbers telling you for this 3-6 matchup in the NFC?
Hurry up and bet the over. Just bet the over, folks. Forget about who wins the game. Bet the over. And here's why. Now, I'll give Dan Quinn credit defensively. They have improved. I think having Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu there, having that stability in the linebacker position has really helped this defense. But the problem is The secondary, they don't have, even when they made the trade there with New Orleans, they don't have any playmakers. They don't. This is not what I would consider a playoff defense, right? Which is odd because it's Dan Quinn, who's a defensive guy. But there's only so much at this point that you can work with. And on the flip side, you've got a Tampa team, another defensive-minded head coach in Todd Bowles, who's great against the run, but that secondary is just as bad as Washington's, which means this is going to be a shootout. You got Baker Mayfield, experienced, versus Jaden Daniels, great season, but a rookie. Bucks at home, they've been in a ton of shootouts here. I think the inability to be able to run the ball for Washington is what's going to cause them problems. They're going to ask too much of Jaden Daniels. Ultimately, I think they'll fall short, but this should be a fun one as all the props in the world, Ben. Give me Bucky Irving overs. Give me Mayfield over. Jaden Daniels over. Evans, they're going to be throwing the ball a lot in this one, I believe.
The Commanders, despite having a rookie quarterback, a preseason win total around 7 and a hook, and a first-year head coach in Dan Quinn, only an underdog by the end of the year 6 times. 3-2-1 against the spread, but all 3 covers an outright victory, most recently in week number 16, winning outright in Philadelphia. Now, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as a favorite this season for Baker Mayfield and the Bucs, the numbers, not all that crazy, 5-4 against the spread. But here is where Tampa's playoff pedigree comes into the conversation. Todd Bowles has been there now for a while, leading the Bucs to multiple divisional crowns. Baker last year, picking up where Tom Brady had left off, leading Tampa to the NFC South Divisional Championship and a playoff win at home against another NFC East team, that being the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the number is fair. It is a flat number of 3, a key number in NFL circles. We'll see how critical it is come Sunday night. What can we expect, Joe, of Jaden Daniels, who is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, no doubt, and has looked phenomenal in the most clutch of spots each and every step of the way throughout his first year in the NFL. But a playoff stage is a significant beast to itself. 235 in a hook is his prop through the air. 1.5 passing touchdowns, and of course, utilizing his legs, 45.5 on the ground. What is your expectation for Washington's rookie signal caller in his first ever playoff game come Sunday night?
Listen, the kid has been phenomenal. I mean, as the, I had said it, Ben, on this show from the draft on, that I thought he was going to be the talk of last year's draft. While everyone, I wasn't a big Caleb Williams fan. I'm still not a Caleb Williams fan, but I said Jaden Daniels is going to be the one guy in this draft that teams wish they had spent more time with. Bo Nix, another guy, obviously we've seen how well he's done as a rookie. But you've got two rookie quarterbacks in the postseason on teams, Ben, that are not used to being in the postseason. The Broncos haven't been there forever, and guess what? Neither has Washington. So what's going to happen is I have a feeling both those teams are going to have to rely on their rookie quarterbacks to do more than what they're capable of. And I think ultimately they're going to ask Jaden Daniels to do a lot in this game. I do think the passing yards is a little light given the fact that I see them trailing in this game, not playing from in front. So I do think any sort of passing yards prop, even passing TDs, I think that is a pretty good look with him because I think he's going to be playing from behind here, Ben.
Washington, the third best passing defense statistically this year in terms of yardage allowed per game. But Baker's prop feels a little bit light as well, 238.5 for a guy that has gone over that number with at least 280 in 5 of the final 7 for Tampa Bay. Multiple passing touchdowns for Baker in each of the last 5 games for the Buccaneers as well, albeit with interceptions thrown in 4 of those 5 games as well. A really intriguing matchup for a Buccaneers team, Joe. It's a lot different than the teams we saw under Tom Brady, or even last year in Mayfield's first year in Tampa. They run the football so much better with Bucky Irving against a Washington team that has been exposed at times on the ground this season. Keep an eye on that. And also keep an eye on a matchup that we love individually. Marshawn Lattimore, now a member of the Commanders secondary, against Mike Evans on the other side for the Buccaneers. Yep. They have quite a heated history, if you will. Some conversation that if Lattimore was still in New Orleans last week, ain't no way Mike Evans getting that final 9-yard reception to get to 1K. Well, now, here we are in the postseason. The Monday night cap, the Super Wild Card weekend in LA. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is our final segment in hour number two. It has gone exactly to plan. Each and every segment, all six in this second hour, a preview of each and every game on Super Wild Card Weekend. The first five in the books. So let's get to the Monday night cap inside SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. The Rams and the Vikings. Minnesota, a 14-win team. But the 5 seed in the NFC playoff bracket has to go on the road to start off its postseason. And they will do so as an ever so slight favorite against Matthew Stafford in the NFC West winning Rams. Total 47.5. Joe, when this line first came out, it was 2.5 points already in favor of the Vikes. Already, we have seen market movement back to LA. How do you approach the sixth and final game of the opening round of the NFL postseason?
Yeah, well, this is where it's going to get interesting, right? On this Monday night game where you've got maybe the worst matchup for Minnesota, having to go on the road to take on this kind of experienced team in the Rams, whose defense, Ben, ended the year as one of the best in the NFL at getting to the quarterback, rushing the quarterback, and not giving up a ton of points here down the stretch. So this young defense really came together and became quietly one of the best defenses in the NFL at the end. And we just watched the Vikings and what happens when you get pressure on Sam Darnold, didn't we? That offensive line was always the concern with the Minnesota Vikings when they lost Darrisaw and others there. What was going to happen? Well, you haven't played great defenses, but boy, they got Anzalone back, and they were all over. They went after Sam Darnold. What do you think the Rams are going to do at home? They're going to go after Sam Darnold. I don't know that Sam Darnold has an answer for that. If Sam Darnold gets all day to throw, Ben, guess what? He's pretty dangerous. I think he's proven that. But I don't think the Rams are going to let him. I think Stafford and company are going to have success. Because you're going to what? Blitz Stafford and think he's not going to tear you apart? I think this is a terrible matchup for Minnesota. I think the wrong team happens to be favored in it as well.
And it's moving that way, Joe. And maybe you're thinking, all right, a lot of people are considering that to be the case, that the Rams should be the slight home favorite even at home. 54% of the money on Minnesota in terms of the spread, 65% of the overall bets backing Sammy D and the Vikings. Joe, I would have to agree. And really, when you look at the Rams as an underdog, you can point to the first matchup against Minnesota as the turning point of this entire season for Los Angeles that led them to be back into the playoffs. The Rams in the opening month and a half of this year, incredibly banged up. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, the entirety of the offensive line, it felt, trying to protect the veteran Matthew Stafford. The Rams started 1-4. Then in week number 6, they beat the Raiders on a Sunday. Didn't cover, ugly game. Did just enough to win 20-15. The story of the season, Joe, was a short week Thursday night game at home in SoFi against this trending Vikings team that had started a perfect 5-0, had just dropped its first game of the year. Would Minnesota drop a second consecutive? They were a 2.5-point favorite on the road in LA. The Rams won outright 30-20. But the Rams down the stretch in the final four games of the year were elite defensively. Well, after they gave up 42 to the Bills and won by scoring 44 points, they only allowed these many points in their last three games with the full starters out there. 6 to San Francisco, 9 on the road to the New York Jets, 9 back at home against the Arizona Cardinals. And in two of those games I just mentioned, against the Bills and the Niners on a short week, the Rams won outright as an underdog. Since that start of the year, a 1-4 start for LA, they've been a dog 4 times. 3-1 against the spread, 3-1 outright as well. They did cover as a touchdown dog in the regular season finale against Seattle. So technically 4-1 against the spread. But in terms of when everybody is played and the Rams are getting points, it's been a recipe for success for Los Angeles this year.
Yeah, no, it has. And again, I'm a big believer in experience matters this time of year, Ben. And you've got a ton of experience on that side of the ball here. So I think Stafford, McVay, Puka Nacua, the weapons, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. It's the defense that's going to make the difference.
I expected more overreaction for the Vikings getting beat bad in Detroit, but the public's still betting Minnesota. That is intriguing. Hour 3 comes your way next.